May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, we're at Advent again, and we hear about the gorgeous and the lessons today. But we also hear about the promise that our God, through Jesus Christ, has made us. And we understand it by the power of the Holy Spirit, the promise of redemption. It's a promise, and God never goes back on his promise. Redemption is the sole purpose of God. That's what he's all about. That's his plan. And Advent is also a time, which is obvious, about love, perfect love, and about the return of our Savior. Even in the collect, we hear, Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness, which we hear about at the end of the gospel about dissipation. And we also ask him for us to put on the armor of light, which is righteousness, which is kind of like a big word for us having right or correct acts in our lives before our God. And why? What's the purpose of that? So that when Jesus does come back, we too may rise to life immortal. That's his promise. We can count and depend on it. Now, before I get to the gospel, I think that the lesson from St. Paul to 1 Thessalonians is important about the love aspect. St. Paul says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love, which means St. Paul knows they're already loving, but he wants their love to be even more, to increase for one another, and not just for the immediate group, but for all people. And that's for us to learn as well, all of us. And it says, just as we abound in our love for you. So St. Paul is telling him, look, I love you a lot. I want you to love back, but not just your group, everyone. And if we want to add to this, we can say, and Jesus' love abounds for us, or abounds for St. Paul. We know St. Paul was kind of took a 180% turn. First, he was persecuting Christians, and then he met Jesus. And when someone really meets Jesus and knows Jesus, He did an abrupt change and became a true follower, a true brother of Christ, and just teaches and teaches and teaches about love. Now in the Gospel, we know from a couple of different places in the Gospels before this that the apostles were always asking about signs. Well, give us a sign, you know, or even the Sadducees and the Pharisees, well, give us signs. Well, here Jesus is telling them, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and distress among the nations confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. Well, he was giving them signs, trying to tell them a little bit what was going to happen. He even went so far as to say, people will faint from fear. But then here comes the encouraging part, just a little bit later on. He said, then they will see, and that's what happens next. They will see the Son of Man. They will see our Savior. We will see Jesus Christ coming in a cloud with great power and great glory, with perfect love. And at that point, we're to know now and then, we are both safe and saved. Because he tells them, he says, when these things take place, we're not supposed to faint with fear. We have trust in him, and we can stand up and raise our heads because Jesus is coming back. Our redemption has happened. We do not have to fear at all. Are we perfect? No. But that's why we have Jesus Christ. That's why he came down, because we're not perfect, because we sin. But we have faith in Christ to forgive us our sins if we turn to him. And then he explains a little bit more. Look at the fig tree. All the trees, as soon as they sprout leaves, what's going to happen? As soon as our trees sprout leaves, what we know what's coming? Spring and then summer. Because we're aware, we see, we understand, we pay attention. And just as we pay attention to the seasons of the year, and maybe a lot of other things, we are to know and pay attention to the second coming of Christ. We are to know personally, intimately, Jesus Christ. We are to know the signs of God's presence. We are to trust in him, trust in our Lord, and have peace, encouragement, and courage to realize when this happens, we are okay. And then the last part, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But here's our warning. Jesus is warning us. Be on guard that your hearts are not weighed down by dissipation and drunkenness. In other words, we are not to become so self-indulgent, living in excess in everything we do, squandering our time, our love, our money, everything. We are not to be wasteful. We are not to let all of the possessions and things that we have in our life distract us from God Almighty. We are to have self-control, and we are to be alert, aware, and knowing God enough that when he comes back, we're not so distracted, we're not expecting him, that we don't pay attention. As we live our lives out, like I said before, we are not perfect, nobody is, but we are to try and follow the example of Christ. We are to pray and become in union with him. Every time we come to church on Sunday, we have communion, and we're united to Christ in such a special way. And not only our God, but all Christians, past, present, and future. What an awesome thought. When we take communion, we are united with our Creator, with our Savior, and of the Holy Spirit. We are united with all Christians, past, present, and future. And that is a comfort and an encouraging thought. If you'd like to, I thought that the prayer of the week this week was awesome, so you can open your bulletins if you would like and pray with me the prayer of the week one more time. Almighty God, you have taught us in your Son that love fulfills the law. Inspire us to love you with all our heart, our soul, our mind,